Amen. Jeremiah 37. Jeremiah 37. Praise God. Jeremiah 37. I'm going to read three verses at the beginning, and then I'm going to skip over into to the chapter a little ways, because I don't want to read every detail of this account, but I want to go through and just spend a little time tonight talking to you about a word from the Lord. A word from the Lord. And King Zedekiah, the son of Josiah. Remember Josiah? Josiah was that young boy who became king, who did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. I mean, just a child. But later, as a young man, whenever construction is being done on the temple, and they find a copy of the law of God, and they bring it to him and read the law of the Lord to him, he hears it, he rends his clothes, and he calls for a revival. A revival under Josiah, the young boy king. This was his son, Zedekiah. King Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, reigned instead of Kaniah, the son of Jehoiakim, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah. So basically, this was a rebellion against Nebuchadnezzar, who said, I've appointed this man to be king. But Zedekiah said, no, I'm going to be king. My father was king, and so I'm going to be the king of Judah. And so he rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. Neither he nor his servants nor the people of the land did hearken unto the words of the Lord, which he spake by the prophet Jeremiah. And Zedekiah the king sent Jehukal the son of Shelemiah and Zephaniah the son of Mazareah and the priest to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, pray now unto the Lord our God for us. Now this is a king and his people. The Bible says they wouldn't listen to the words of the prophets. They wouldn't obey the voice of the Lord. But when they saw the prophet, when he sees the prophet, he said, would you pray for us? Would you pray for us? Now let's skip on down. Skipping on down to about verse 15. When the princes were wroth with Jeremiah and smote him and put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they had made that the prison. And Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon and into the cabins, and Jeremiah had remained there many days. Then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out. And the king asked him secretly in his house and said, is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there is. For he saith, thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. Now that wasn't what Zedekiah wanted to hear. He didn't want to hear what Jeremiah would say. But Jeremiah was called of God, and he was a prophet of God, and he had a word from the Lord. As a matter of fact, 50 times in the book of Jeremiah, there is the phrase that says that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. 50 times in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was in tune with the voice of the Lord. Now, I believe, as I mentioned this morning, that there are certain convictions that we should have. And one of those convictions, the one that I mentioned this morning, is that the church is the only hope of the world. That's a firm conviction that I have, and that I think we all should have. There's no answer. There is no hope for this world except as the church demonstrates that we are children of the King and that we're obedient to God and we are speaking the word of the Lord, and the gospel is the hope for this world, and the vessel that God wants to use is the church. The church. So that's a firm conviction that I have. I have another conviction tonight that I want to share with you, and that's this. I believe that God desires to speak to his people. God wants to speak to his people. And of course, the primary way that he does that is through the word of God. He speaks to us through the word of the Lord. Now, I know there's others that are preachers here. Marty's been preaching probably about as long or longer than me, and others that are preachers here. And, you know, after a few years go by to, you know, taking a little section of scripture, by the way, I'll just say that I've said this before, preaching is one of the hardest things you'll ever do. It's one of the hardest things you'll ever do. That's from my perspective anyway. But after all these years, it's not really all that difficult to take a section of scripture and kind of outline it and build a sermon out of it. And that's not really all that difficult. If you've done it for almost 40 years, then it kind of comes natural to you. When you read the scripture, it starts to just divide open and you start seeing various important points, and it just happens that you begin to develop that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about sermon making or sermonizing. I'm talking about the fact that that we need more than an outline. We need more than a sermon. We need something that is from God. Now, I understand that all of Scripture is inspired of God. And so I'm not taken away from the fact that the Word of God is inspired, or it's God-breathed. I mean, every part of this book, 66 books in this Bible, 1,189 chapters in this Bible, 783,000 plus just a little bit more words in this King James Version. It's a lot of words. It's a lot of chapters. Every bit of it is inspired of God. God-breathed. God-breathed. Amen. It is. And so I don't minimize that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, or it's breathed of God, and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. We know that the word of God is powerful. We know the word of God is something that is sent from God to us, and there's much to be gleaned from time that's spent in the word of the Lord. Amen. I'm talking about a word from God. You see, all of Scripture, there's two Greek words for word or word of God. One is the word logos, which really is just a word that describes all the word of God, all of the inspired word of God. And there's another word, rhema, that's also translated word of God. In a lot of places, not as many places, but in a lot of places, especially places in the New Testament, rhema, of course, is a Greek word. And so a rhema is different. It's different than a logos. A rhema is whenever God inspires by the Holy Spirit a particular passage of Scripture that speaks to you personally and specifically about your life and your situation. And I have to tell you that it's happened many times. I've said it in a lot of preaching, and I've heard a lot of preaching, and I've heard sermon after sermon after sermon, but there have been a few times down through the years when the preaching was going forth, I knew I was hearing from God. I knew it was for me. It might have been for others there, but I knew God was talking to me through it. I knew it was pointed at me. It was specific to me. I knew it was a rhema word to me. And that when I say, is there a word from God for you? Yes, there is. Is there a word from God for you for your particular need or circumstance that you're in right here today, tonight, in this service? Yes, there is. There is a word from God for you. There's a word from God for me. So that changes everything. When you know you're going to be walking to the pulpit and you wonder, Lord, is this just a sermon, or is this something that you've given to me? Is this something, Lord, that I feel like the Holy Spirit has inspired my heart and has dealt with me and spoke to me about? And when that happens, then supernatural things can happen. And God can really speak. So it makes walking to the pulpit a lot more serious. It makes it, I remember when I started, I was in Bible school when I first started trying to preach. And I had like three or four sermons. I'd worked diligently on them, and I preached them I don't know how many times. More times than I want to admit. A lot of times I've gone through them. I mean, I struggled through them in the development of those messages. And I wanted them to be from God, and I prayed over them, and I studied and spent time. I remember when Marcia and I were dating, and we were discussing the fact that I felt called to preach, and she didn't know that. This was early on. We were dating, and she like said something like, "Really? You're really called to preach?" It was almost like that was going to be a deal. That was going to break this thing down. It was going to be a deal breaker. And she was going to say, "No, I don't want to have nothing to do with that. I've lived in a preacher's home all of my life, and I don't want no more of that." But anyway, it worked out. Thank God that it did. Amen. And I've come over the years to realize that what we need is more than a sermon. I'm glad for Bible studies. I'm glad for sermonizing. I'm glad. But I also know that it takes some time in the presence of the Lord. It takes some time in God's word. It's asking God, "Lord, I don't know what to say. I don't know what you want to say. But Lord, help me to follow your will and your plan for this service and this meeting." And I have to tell you, it's a wonderful thing when you really realize and you sense, I'm on the right track. This is what God is wanting to say. This is how God is wanting to speak. If we've ever needed to hear from God, we need to hear from God now. We need a word from the Lord. It's sad to say, in our text here, the situation is such that King Zedekiah isn't interested at all. Jeremiah spent most of his ministry being ridiculed. He's known as the weeping prophet. He wept over the sins of Israel and Judah. He was concerned about them. But if you go back to chapter 1 of Jeremiah, he never wanted to be a prophet. He didn't want that job. He was not really willing. He must have had other things in mind about his life and his future. But the Lord spoke to him, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, "Before you were born, I formed you. Before, and I knew you before you were born. Before you were even formed in the womb, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I," this is Jeremiah speaking, "Oh, Lord God," that's Jeremiah saying, "oh, this can't be. This can't be real. Oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child." He was saying, I can't do this. I don't have the ability to speak. I'm too young. I'm too inexperienced. I'm unqualified. I don't have what it takes to do this job. I can't be the prophet. I can't speak for you, Lord." But then the Lord encouraged Jeremiah and told him, "Don't say you're a child. Don't use that as an excuse. I'm too young or I'm too inexperienced. For thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak." From the very beginning, from the calling of Jeremiah, God had promised him, "If you'll do what I tell you to do, I'm going to speak and I'm going to give you the words to say." Glory to God. Amen. Oh, how wonderful it is that God wants to speak to his people. He cares enough about us that he wants to communicate with us. He wants to talk to us. He wants to warn us. He wants to encourage us. He wants to challenge us. He wants to train us and lead us and direct our steps. He wants to talk to us and speak to us about our lives and our needs and our calling and the work that he is wanting to do. He said, "Don't be afraid of their faces." Jeremiah was going to face in opposition. He was telling him right from the very beginning, "I'm calling you being a prophet to the nations. And by the way, they are not going to want to hear anything you've got to say. They are going to make faces at you. It is not going to be fun. what you experience. But he said, I'm with you and I'm going to deliver you. So you just go and do what I'm telling you to do. Don't be afraid of their faces. Don't be afraid of the opposition. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Glory to God. And he can do that for you as well. It's not just for the prophet or not just for the preacher or the pastor. It's for every one of us to understand God wants to talk to us. He wants to speak to us. And a rhema word is when the word of God becomes real and personal to you and to your specific need or situation that you're in. God speaks to you through his word primarily, and by his Holy Spirit, he brings it to life to you. I've heard people say it this way. I was reading along in God's word and it just jumped out at me. That's what we're talking about. When the Spirit of God makes a particular passage of scripture, it just becomes personal to you. You get a hold of it. Some of you have been holding on to particular verses or sections of scripture for years and years and years because 5 years or 10 years or 15 years ago or longer, the Lord gave to you a word from him, from God. You got a hold of that, and it's like a lifeline for you. Even today, you're still holding on to it. You may not have even seen it become a reality yet or fulfilled yet in your life, but you have received a word from the Lord. God has always spoke to his people. In the Old Testament, primarily, he spoke through his prophets. And that phrase is repeated hundreds of times in the Old Testament to Ezekiel, Daniel, Isaiah, Micah, Nahum, Zechariah, Jonah, Amos, Hosea, all these prophets, major and minor prophets. That word has come again and again. The word of the Lord came unto. The word of the Lord came unto. And then they took what God spoke to them and they communicated it. They spoke it. Sometimes it was personal to an individual. Sometimes it was to a king. Sometimes it was to a nation. Sometimes it was to a tribe. But however God spoke and however he used these various prophets to speak. Amen. And I have a conviction about 2018 that God wants to speak to his people. Hallelujah. He wants to speak to his church. He wants to talk to us. He wants to speak to us. That's why we must be people of the word of God. That's why we must be filled with the Spirit. So that we have an experience in the Spirit. These words that he gives, they are life. And they can speak to you to your present need, your present circumstance. God can talk to you. But sometimes people respond a whole lot like Zedekiah did. It says, I read you verse number 2 where it says, they didn't hearken to the word of the Lord. God spoke and they ignored him. They didn't hearken unto the word of the Lord, which was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah had warned them. He had spoken to them. He told them what was happening, that the judgment was coming, that Nebuchadnezzar, the Chaldeans were coming, and he'd warned them and warned them and warned them. Judgment is coming, but they refused to hear it. But then Zedekiah pulls Jeremiah to the side and says, listen, would you pray for us? Would you pray for us? You know, you can't substitute prayer for obedience. Whatever God is, if you already know what's right and you already know what God has called you to do or commanded you to do, don't be praying about it. God's already spoken that to you. It's already in black and white. It's just as plain as can be. It's the word of the Lord. You don't have to pray about the word of the Lord. I've heard about people praying, you know, well, Lord, me and my wife, we're not getting along anymore, and I like this other one. And so, Lord, and I've heard of stories of preachers even who have said, well, I prayed about this, and the Lord worked it out, and so this one's no longer my wife, but I have this new wife, and she's more spiritual, and she's a better pastor's wife than the other one. He prayed about it, but he ignored the word of God, what the Bible had to say about it, and about marriage and divorce
and what God had commanded concerning marriage and divorce, and he ignored it. Ignored it. And you heard of people that they want to pray about things that are very clearly spoken in the word of the Lord. So it's no substitute. Prayer is no substitute for what God has already spoken. Amen. Amen. It's just not going to happen. Now, sometimes when God speaks just like he spoke through Jeremiah to Zedekiah the king, he really didn't want to hear. And there's been many cases in the scripture where the prophet spoke and they just didn't want to hear what he had to say. Notice this in Isaiah 30 in verse number 9. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. They won't hear it. Verse 10. Which say to the seers or the prophets, see not, and to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us. And so they just said, we don't want to hear what you're saying. It's like they're putting their hands over their ears. They don't hear, they won't hear. And then they speak to the prophets and say, don't see it and don't speak it. We really don't want to hear it. Don't prophesy the thing unto us. But rather, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Now, just see how far gone that a person can get that they would speak to the man of God and say, we really don't want to hear what God is saying. As a matter of fact, say something else. Say something nice and smooth and easy. And even prophesy deceit. Deceive us. We'd rather be deceived than hear the truth. Wow. How far gone that a people can get. Then in verse 11, this is Isaiah 30. Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. This is a people saying to the prophet Isaiah, get out of our way. Get out of our way. Get out of our pathway. We don't want to hear what you are saying. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. We don't want to hear it. Tell God to go on. Get out of our way. There is a generation that doesn't want to hear the voice of the Lord. They'd rather not hear God's voice. They may not say those words, but in reality, the way they're living, they're saying, don't talk to me, God. Get out of my way. I'm going on. I'm doing what I want to do. Just don't talk to me about it. Don't warn me. Just deceive me if you have to. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. There is a generation that does not want to hear the word of the Lord. But hopefully that's not anyone here in this place. That there is a sensitivity and a hunger to hear the voice of the Lord. No matter what God is saying, we want to know. We want to hear the word of the Lord. And some people respond by only wanting to hear from God when they get in a real crisis. Not interested in what God's saying till the going gets really rough. That's what happened in Zedekiah's case here, because the Chaldeans have now camped right around them. And their city has been laid siege, and they're in trouble, and they know they're in trouble. And so finally, you see, this is Zedekiah. His father was Josiah, and he knew a little bit about walking with God and serving God and hearing the voice of God. But somewhere along the line, his pride had made him think he could go it on his own, and he didn't need the Lord, and he didn't need to hear from God. I don't know about you, but I've been serving the Lord a long, long time, but I still feel, oh, Lord, I really need to hear your voice. I really need to hear your voice. Would you speak to me? Would you deal with me? Would you help me to see in your word, Lord, what we need to know for this particular day or this week, Lord? Would you speak to our hearts? Don't wait for a crisis to come. Don't wait for things to get difficult, but instead be open and responsive to the voice of the Lord. Finally, Jeremiah is thrown in prison, and Zedekiah, I mean, everything is getting really bad. I mean, and the armies have surrounded them, and they're really up against it. And finally, he comes to him and he says, he pulls him over to the side so no one else can see. You can see that this is a king full of pride. And he says to him, is there any word from God? Does God have anything to say about this? And he had not one intention of doing what God said. Not even one intention. When you read through this chapter and the next couple of chapters, you'll see that that Jeremiah warned him and said, listen, here's what's going to happen. Nebuchadnezzar is going to come and his armies are going to come. If you'll surrender to them with your families, if you'll just surrender to him, then you'll be taken captive, but you and your family will be allowed to live. And your houses and the walls won't be destroyed or burned and tore down if you'll just do what I'm telling you to do, if you'll surrender. But instead, you read over in the next chapter, he refused to do what Jeremiah told him to do. He had the clear word from God as to how to save himself and to save his household. But instead, by night, whenever this Chaldean army is coming in, they sneak out and try to make a break for it and run for it, and they are caught. And the horrible situation is that they take all of his wives and his daughters and they defile them. And then they take his sons and they slay them before him. The last thing that Zedekiah sees is his own sons being slain. And after they slay him, then they put his eyes out and they take him to Babylon to be a slave. This man, who's so filled with pride that he won't listen to the voice of God, he will not obey the voice of the Lord. He goes his own way and thinks, I know what's right. I know what to do. I can handle my problems, and goes his own way. And you see the end of it, the destruction that comes to his household, his family, and to his own life. He becomes a blinded slave in Babylon. He could have been saved alive with his children, his wives, his family. He could have been saved alive. But he refused to listen to the voice of the Lord. I'm telling you, there have been many people that have been warned again and again and again. If you'll do it God's way, if you walk in the ways of the Lord, then you can be saved from a lot of heartache and a lot of trouble. But people just full of pride and self-will, they go their own way. They ignore the warnings of parents and the warnings of preachers and the warnings of those that God has put in their life. And they just go their own way. And you can watch the destruction in their life. You can see it little by little as things are going against them, and trouble is coming, and problems are coming, heartache is coming, and all of the disaster that comes their way because they go their own way and refuse to obey the voice of the Lord. I say, let's be a people who hear from God and we obey God. Amen. We hear the word of the Lord and we walk in the ways of the Lord. You say, I want to hear from God. Well, you're going to have to take some time with God and with his word. If you want to hear the voice of the Lord, then you're going to have to ask the Lord. There's going to have to be a hunger, an interest, a desire to know what God wants you to do. You have to long to know the things of God. God reveals himself through his word primarily. And by the Holy Spirit, he enlightens the word of God. And he will do that as you are searching and longing to know the truth. Amen. You know, if you've got a big problem, a big situation, and you begin to read the word of God and study the word of God, asking the Lord, Lord, I need answers. I need answers. And you're asking God as you read and study the word of the Lord, I can assure you with confidence that if you'll go to God and go to his word, and you're truly seeking God for a solution and for answers in your life situation, God will speak to you. That'll be a rhema word when God by his Spirit reveals his word to your specific need or situation. That God can do that, and God can speak to you by his Holy Spirit. Amen. The Spirit of God brings life to a certain passage of scripture. I know it's already inspired. I know it's already anointed of God, but God enlightens it to you for your specific need right now. He makes it real and personal to you. Amen. And that's a wonderful thing. I have to tell you, there have been a few times over the years that I've sat in the pew at preachers preaching, and it was like they were just writing. It was just like, it was so personal to me. It was like I was almost embarrassed. It was almost like they were calling my name out, that they were going through and identifying a lot of answers or a lot of specific things that I needed to hear from God. That's the kind of God we serve. And one of the things that can happen in a church that is full of the Holy Ghost and experiencing revival is that God will speak. God will speak. God will work. God will move. God will talk to you about your particular life situation, your needs. God will reveal himself to you and give you solutions and answers that are not of this world, but they have come to you straight from God, from the heart of God. Hallelujah. Many of you have experienced that. Amen. And so can God speak today? Absolutely. In the Old Testament, primarily through the prophets. Today he speaks primarily through his son, according to Hebrews, through the message of Jesus, in the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now he communicates to us through his word and by his Holy Spirit. Amen. As he inspires us and opens our heart, illuminates our minds, and helps us to see and to understand, to comprehend those things that he's wanting to speak to our hearts. Hallelujah. Is there a word from the Lord? Now, Zedekiah asked that question, but really it was just like, oh, it's the prophet, so I need to ask him this question. Does God have anything to say about our situation? With no intention at all of obeying the word of the Lord. Can God speak today? Oh, yeah. He can speak. But we need to be a people that are saying, Lord, I want you to speak. I want you to reveal yourself to me. I want you to speak to my particular life circumstance right now. And you go to the Lord and you begin to seek the Lord and you begin to pour over the word of the Lord. God will talk to you. The Lord will speak to you. Amen. Amen. Are you hungry to hear from the Lord? Do you have a desire? Do you have a need? And you need to hear the voice of the Lord? God can speak to you even tonight. Praise God. Let's stand together. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Every day, every step of the way, we all have challenges. You have challenges, you know, related to family and to your job and to all different kinds of circumstances. God's interested in that. God's interested in what you are a part of. Amen. And he wants to speak specifically to you and to your situation that you're in right now. But you need to open up your heart to the Lord. And you have to be willing to say, Lord, when you talk to me and you reveal yourself to me through your word, I'm willing to say yes and to obey what you are calling me to do. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.